Father, we just thank you this morning. God, because you are just so good. And it's true, if we had 10,000 tongues, we really couldn't tell it all. For just when we think we have finished, your Spirit brings something else to mind as to what you have done or who you really are. So we have to start all over again. And we're thankful that, God, you are so big and inexhaustible that, Lord, we keep receiving fresh revelation from you day after day after day. Thank you for loving us the way you do. Thank you, Lord, for lavishing your love upon us the way you do. Thank you, God, for being with us, your children, and reminding us that, Lord, we are never alone. Thank you for being an omnipresent God. There is nowhere that we can go where you are not. We thank you for that. Thank you for being an omnipotent God. There is no situation, God, by which you do not have the power in which to prevail. Because of that, we know that we have victory in Jesus. You are an all-powerful God. We thank you that you are an all-knowing, omniscient God. That every detail of our lives has been ordered and planned by you. And I thank you, oh God, that, Lord, you've even taken care of the detours when we get off the route. You know how, Lord, to route us back to you and get us on track. You're good. And our hearts rejoice because you are good. We're thankful, God, that you are good. Which means that although you are all powerful, you don't abuse your power. Thank you, God. We pray that, God, in our time together as we look at now your word, that, God, you will open our eyes to see again fresh revelation. Hearts have been prepared as we have sang the word. Our hearts have been prepared as we have read the word. Our hearts have been prepared as we have prayed the word. Our hearts have been prepared, God, as we have praised you for who you are. Now we simply ask that, God, as we proclaim and preach the word, that seed will continue to be planted in our hearts. Lord, will grow up and produce a crop in our lives, 30, 60, or 100 fold. We thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would, go in your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We are just coming out of the Christmas season, and for those of you who celebrate the 12 days of Christmas, you're still in the Christmas season. Being reminded that Jesus Christ, Christmas was all about the celebration or the coming of Jesus Christ. Promise made by God that he would send a Savior for the world. God fulfilled his promise. And as you know, God is a patient God, because after Jesus arrived, we still had to wait another 33 years before his mission to pay for the sins of mankind would be completed. That should give you and me hope that God is patient. That when he starts a project, when he starts a mission, he watches over it and will see it through. That just because a word that God spoke to you last year hasn't come to pass doesn't mean that God has forgotten. Glory to God. Your job and my job is to keep trusting him until what he has said comes to pass. Don't quit. Do not throw in the towel, because he is a long-suffering, enduring God who answers prayer. Things that you have been praying for that have not manifest yet, don't give up. God is able to deliver. Some stuff you've been wrestling with, and it seems like it has you, and it won't let you go. Keep praying and trusting God. Because if you don't give up, you will indeed experience the victory. That is what part of the Christmas story reminds us of, is that God gave a word. He said, for unto us a child is born, to us what? A son is given. And he was patient, and he waited to just the right time. And he sent Jesus Christ in the form of a baby to fulfill that word that was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Listen, don't put God on your timetable. Amen. Amen. Don't put God on your timetable. In fact, remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. In fact, stop looking at the clock. Stop looking at the calendar, trying to say, okay, God, when you gonna show up? That's going to get you in trouble. It's going to cause you to be discouraged. But if you will keep your eyes fixed on him, and patiently wait for him to do what he needs to do, when you receive what you've been waiting for, it's going to be better than what you thought it would be. Because his word declares he is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. It's going to be better if you wait. Don't be trying to help him out. God, you're taking too long. You're going to mess it up. Thankfully, he'll come and clean it up, but you're going to mess it up. So be patient. Be patient. Remembering that God is faithful. He is not a man that he should lie. God has declared he has the power to bring to pass. Amen. Are you in John chapter 1? Praise God. Praise God. Beginning with verse number 1, you know, it would help if I get there too. Don't laugh at me. Are you laughing with me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1, and we want to read the first 4 verses, and I would love it if you would look at the screen and read this with me, amen, nice and loud, everybody, so we can hear each other, amen. Let's read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So I want to talk today about Jesus being the light of life. Jesus is the light of life. This is a very, very familiar passage of scripture. One in which we often quote, and then we will go from verse number 1 to verse number 14. Because in verse number 14 is where it says, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now we'll stop there, but it says we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. As John writes this, he is talking about none other than Jesus Christ, declaring that in the beginning, Jesus, who is the Word, was with God. In fact, John says, not only was he with God, in fact, the Word was God. And so in that, John affirms the deity of God, of Jesus Christ, as well as his humanity. He was with God, then he became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So Jesus is fully God and fully man. The only one who is able to do what God needed to be done. For God said that I need to send a Savior to the world. Someone who will be perfect in all of his ways. Someone who will not sin when tempted, but instead will resist temptation and then be able to stand before me and offer his life as a ransom for all of mankind. For the Word of God says that all of us have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. And as a result of that, he says that the wages of sin is death. That means eternal separation from God. He says that I don't want you, my creation, to be separated from me forever. And so I'll make provision for you and take care of the debt which you cannot pay. I'll provide for you and take care of it myself in the person of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Listen to this. Through him, this is through Jesus, all things were made. Everything. Everything was made through him. Remember, let there be. That was the Word. Everything that existed was made through him. It says, without him, nothing was made that has been made. So if you don't have Jesus in the equation, nothing exists. Amen. Amen. That's what the Word is saying, right? That's what the Word is saying. It says, in him, in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So he is the creator and the sustainer of life. It is he who comes that we might have life. And have it how? More abundantly. Amen. Verse 5, which is not on the board, says this. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not comprehend it. It does not understand it. So Jesus, the light, comes into the world, but those who were there did not fully comprehend what was there, what had been given to them. Far be it from you and me to be in the same shape that they were. Amen. For if you don't comprehend, if you don't understand the light, you can't receive the benefit that comes from the light. In order for you to get the full benefit of what comes from the light, you've got to appreciate, accept the light being Jesus Christ. So John again is laying out this detail that Jesus was the Word, but not only was he the Word, he was also the light, which is the life of all mankind. So in Jesus who is the light, you and I have life in him and him alone. Now, when Jesus was born, he was taken into the temple by his mother and his father to be dedicated unto the Lord. It was the custom of his people that they were to return unto the Lord, redeem, if you will, the firstborn male child that comes from the womb. They went in to do that, and there was an older man by the name of Simeon who was there. And Simeon had some words to speak over Jesus. You can find this in Luke chapter 2, verses 29 and verse through verse 32, where Simeon says this, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation." Wait a minute. Simeon was looking at Jesus. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to offer him and rededicated him back to God. And Simeon walked in and saw him. So he's looking at Jesus. And while he's looking at Jesus, he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Remember when the angel came to visit Joseph in a dream? He said to him, "You are to name him Jesus." Why? Because he will save his people, your people, from their sins. So Jesus, the light of the world, Jesus, the light of your life, brings salvation. Real quickly, connect that dot. Light, salvation. Light, salvation. Jesus is the light of life, salvation. Amen. When you got Jesus, you got light. When you got Jesus, you got what? Salvation. So he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations." Ooh, I love this. God didn't do this thing in secret. Hallelujah. In other words, ain't no excuse. Right? Ain't no excuse. He's like, this has been a display. Remember the Magi came from the east because they saw a star? You mean to tell me they were the only somebody that saw the star? Good googly goo. What? And you got people in Jerusalem who had supposedly studied the scriptures who did not realize after they found out that the Magi had come to see the new king that had been born. I'm surprised they didn't get up and say, "We got to go too." That's when what happens when light comes in and darkness does not comprehend or understand the light. You won't move to go get your blessing. Okay. A light, there it is, for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. This is talking about Jesus. Simeon saw Jesus and he said, first of all, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Then he said, "He is a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." In other words, the way this thing was set up, when you read the Bible, you'll read the people of Israel and you'll read the Gentiles. In other words, there was Israel and there was everybody else. And in Israel's mind, God only cared about them. They missed the mark because they were supposed to be the ones who would open up the doors for others to come and partake of the goodness of God. But they became proud and self-righteous, and they then failed to realize that they were going to be used to bring glory and honor to God and to be a witness to other people. But when Jesus comes, he makes it plain. God is not just concerned about one particular person or one people group. Supremacy. You ain't got no supremacy. Privilege. You ain't got no privilege. He created all mankind. And can I just tell you, we are all equal at the foot of the cross. Kirk was right. Kirk Franklin, that is. We all bleed what? Red. It's only one color. Unless you Klingon. I mean, that's it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Come on, say, come back. Come back. Come back. Come back. Come back. So Simeon says, light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. So he sees Jesus, and this is what he sees. And he says to God, now I'm ready to come home. I've seen what you promised. I've been a witness to what you declared. And now you can bring me home. Now I can go in peace. So Jesus then becomes the light that reveals the person of God to all people. Jesus is a light of revelation. If you have studied his word, you will discover that in his word, Jesus is the primary focus. Jesus is the primary focus. In John 1 verse 9, Jesus is the true light that gives light to everyone. So again, he is no respecter of persons or people groups. He desires that all of people, all of his creation, comes into the light. Again, the light equals what? Salvation. It is his desire that all humanity, all mankind, be saved. Hallelujah. So Jesus, as being affirmed in the scriptures by John, is being known as the light sent from God, the true light. And of course, Jesus also affirms this in John chapter 8, where Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. He says that whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus is the light. Because Jesus, God declares that desires that every individual be saved, we see this probably most clearly in John chapter 3, verse 16. And when you read from 16 all the way through 21, it is spelled out extremely clearly. We know verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever what? Believes. Got to get that in there. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes, you got to get that part, you got to believe. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed. Have you picked up on the fact that there's something about this believing thing that makes a difference? I mean, I don't know. Are you caught that? Whoever believes, who does not believe, They have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son is why they stand condemned. In other words, you got to believe it in order for you to receive the benefit that comes from what has been declared. Amen? So he says that when you begin to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you see some benefit. Verse 19 says this. This is the verdict. After he said all of this, he then says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. Salvation has come into the world. But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Hey, y'all know some people. Hey, this is not, y'all know some people like that. I will go to church, but I will come to God, but I can't let this go. And you know how they do it. They're like, I just want to be real, man. I gotta be authentic. I ain't gonna be fake. Coming pretending like, you know, I really like know the Lord, but I know I'm still over here doing what I shouldn't be doing. No, I ain't gonna be like that. Dude, if you don't come to him, you're gonna stay right there. Because you do not have the strength, you do not have the wherewithal to leave this thing that has you by the ankles. You need the power of God to set you free. You want to be real, you'll tell the truth and shame the devil. That's what you'll do. I was on verse number 21. Everyone who does evil hates the light. Man, we could camp out right there because you know what? You got some people that don't like you just because. You happy in the Lord. Just because when the world is falling apart, you ain't. And they mad at you because you ain't falling apart. And the reason you're not falling apart is because you know that God has the whole world in his hands. And you say, what good is it going to do me to fall apart when he's got it all in control? But they hating on you because the light in you is shining forth. Now that's going to help you in the weeks to come, because it is my hope, my prayer, that the light of Jesus Christ starts shining all around you. But let me tell you, when it starts shining, it's going to be some folks hating on you. It's going to be some mosquitoes trying to bite you. It's going to be some bugs picking on you. It's going to be some flies flying around you, bugging you because of the light. But don't you be discouraged. You just keep letting your light shine before the Lord. Amen. Says everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. And that's a true statement. Because when you are shining brightly, when you're living righteously, you have a way of illuminating all of that stuff around you that is steeped in darkness. Amen? And so they'd be like, No, I ain't coming. No, that's all right. I don't want to come with you. That's okay. It ain't you that's missing out. You got the light. You ain't the one missing out when they don't go, when they don't show up. You got the light. You're not the one that's walking in darkness. You got the light. You're not going to stub your toe. You're not going to fall in the hole. You're not going to fall in the ditch that's been dug. Because why? You got the light. So don't get mad. You got to be like Harriet. You remember Harriet, don't you? Harriet got free. She came back. Not everybody wanted to go. Some folk wanted to stay locked up in shackles, mistreated. Absolutely, they were afraid. If you're bold enough to step out in faith, you can experience some freedom. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Amen. So the person who walks in the dark does not know where he or she is going, but because you have believed in Jesus, you have the light of life. Amen. You have the light of life. So we began talking about, in the beginning was the Word, and then we said the Word was the light of the world, right? That he is the one. Listen, the Spirit of God uses God's Word, which is Jesus Christ, to deliver you and me from the viewpoints and the values of this world. That's his light that's being manifest from the flesh and from the devil. That's his light that's being manifest. He renews our minds so that we are able to see things from his point of view so that we can walk in the newness of life. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says that you and I are to walk as children, live as children of light. Know who you are and live in that way as children of light. That you and I are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we need to be looking like him in the way we act, the way we walk, the way we talk. We ought to be acting like Jesus. And if you and I can begin to act like Jesus, we'll begin to see fruit being produced wherever he takes us. Because Jesus said, I only say what my Father tells me to say. I only do what my Father tells me to do. And if you recall the activity of Jesus' life, wherever he went, he brought about life. He was breaking the chains of the devil because he was doing what his Father told him to do. And when you and I are walking as children of light, we're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, who is light. And we are bringing salvation to men and women wherever God takes us. Because we are now operating in the power and in the authority of the Spirit of God. He says that if you and I can do that, we will be able then to move forth and bring hope and healing to those who are lost and broken. Jesus is the light of life, which means for us, he illuminates our dark path. He gives us hope. Amen. When I was about third grade, my sister came home one day from school. And they had been in science on that day, learning about this process called photosynthesis. And when she came home, she was singing this song. It had to be a catchy song because now, all these years later, remember I said third grade. I'm not going to tell you how many years ago that was, but I said third grade. And I'm still remembering that song. Came home talking about photosynthesis. Doom, doom, doom. Do your thing. Doom, doom, doom. I'm still remembering that all these years later. Because it stuck in my mind what they were trying to teach her that she came home singing about and passed it on to me. Now, you know what photosynthesis is, right? What you say, you're going, oh, wait a minute, let me give her a mic. She's getting ready to define it for me. Hallelujah. Photosynthesis is this process whereby plants use sunlight, water, and carbon dioxide to generate food. Amen. And it's a process whereby the sunlight, which God gives that, right? is being used by the plants, these green plants, to take what is there, the water and the carbon dioxide, to create food to give life. So you got the sunlight, you got the green pigments in the plant, you got the carbon dioxide, you've got the water that's all being utilized to produce food to give life for the plant. You got the absorption by the plant, you got the water splitting, you got the oxygen release, and then you have, for the plant, the food being created. It gives life. And man, I started thinking about photosynthesis doing its thing for a plant, and it made me think about the sun doing his thing for me. Oh my goodness. I got excited when I started thinking about how the sun doing his thing for me, taking the word of God by the Spirit of God and working in my life to bring about a transformation, and it started messing me up. I started to think about when Jesus, the light of God's hope, starts doing his work in my life. All of a sudden, there is no situation that is so overwhelming that I can lose hope. That it doesn't matter what the doctor's report says, that when Jesus, the light of God's hope, is doing his work on the inside of me, I'm getting a food that sustains my spirit, that says that whose report will you believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I start thinking about when Jesus, the light of God's peace, starts resting upon me and working on me. That anxiety no longer has a place to lay its head in my life. Glory to God. Because now the Spirit of peace has come to rest upon me. And as he is doing his work, all of a sudden, all of that anxious thought is being kicked out. Why? Because I'm taking every anxious thought, and by the Spirit of God, I'm lifting it up before God in prayer. And every time I begin to pray, my anxious thoughts are learning about my God. Hallelujah. And as my anxious thoughts learn about my God, all of a sudden, God's peace just rests up on me. And when anxiety comes back and knocks on the door and says, "You thought you was done with me," I start all over again. I say the same thing that worked before is going to work again, because the blood of Jesus never loses its power, because we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. I started thinking about how the Jesus, the light of God's love, begins to work in my heart. All of a sudden, that old crusty thing that used to be there has been replaced by something soft and tender and malleable. And God can now take and use me for his glory, because I don't allow things that shouldn't be in my heart to take residence in my heart, because God uses his word and his spirit to say, that does not belong there. And when my heart is right before God, he says, blessed are those are the pure in heart. Why? For you will what? You will see what? The kingdom. Y'all act like y'all don't know that scripture. You know it? Say it like you mean it. Amen. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God right here. The power of God being manifest right here. In your circumstances. Why? Because you are allowing the Spirit of God and the Word of God to purify your hearts. So when the sun starts to doing his work, his photosynthesis on me, all of a sudden he's generating life in me and taking stuff that's outside of me and using it on the inside of me so that I am being transformed from the inside out, so that I am being made whole, spirit, soul, and body. I'm being made whole. Why? Because the Spirit of God is doing his work in me. The Father has allowed the Son to come and die and send his Spirit to work on me, and then he has given me his word upon which I can stand on. And when I allow them to work together in my life, God does some amazing things. But you gotta believe. Because without faith, it is impossible to believe, to please God. If you don't believe that he is who he says he is, you can't get what he wants of you. You've gotta believe that he is more than able to do everything that he said he can do and desires to do in your life. That it is not just enough to hear the word. You must be what? Doers of the word. You've got to practice the word. You've got to speak the word. You've got to live the word. And when you are practicing the word, speaking the word, living the word never fails. It's going to do its job. God says his word never, ever returns to him empty or void. He is going to complete the work in your life. On your behalf, he is going to do what he said he will do. Why? Because Jesus is the light of life. He has come so that you and I can have life abundantly. Amen. As we close, I just want to make sure that you don't confuse life abundantly with material wealth. I don't want you to get it twisted. Yes, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the devil ain't worried about your material wealth. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy your spiritual well-being. He wants to steal your peace. Amen. He comes, he wants to steal your health. Amen. He wants to steal everything that God wants to give you. But Jesus has come and said that I come that you may have the kind of life that the devil can't steal. Oh, glory. Woo. You're going to be prosperous. Amen. You're going to have more than enough to take care of your needs. Stop worrying. Stop it. Stop worrying about what you're going to eat. Stop worrying about what you're going to wear. Stop worrying about where you're going to stay. Stop worrying about what you're going to drive. Just stop it. You're wasting your time worried about stuff that God has said, I'm going to take care of you because you're mine. And you're too busy allowing the devil to steal your peace because you're worried about stuff that God has already said he's going to take care of. So move your heart and your mind from that kind of anxiety and move it to a place of where you're just resting in the light of God's peace. In his Son. You are saying that, God, I don't know how, but I know that you are able. Because there is nothing that is too hard for you. God, I don't know when, but I know your timing is perfect. For you're never late. You always on time. You just start resting in him and you lead your heart to the place of where it will be at peace in the presence of God. Don't you let your heart control you. You lead your heart to a place of peace in God. You lead it there by fixing your mind on the things of God, on the person of God, on Jesus Christ, the light of God, and upon his word, because the unfolding of God's word gives light. When you start to focus there, that there is a peace, a serenity, a confidence that comes because you have placed your trust in the Lord, not in man. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Nobody. The reason I don't fear them, because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so thankful on this day. Jesus Christ, who is the light of our lives. We thank you that he illuminates our pathway so that we do not walk in darkness, but we walk according to the steps that you have ordained. We thank you, God, for your word, which is a lamp, God, unto our feet, and a light unto our path. We thank you, Father, for your love expressed through Jesus Christ, providing us, God, with everything, Lord, that we need. Now, will you help us to see him as he truly is, as the provider, giver, the sustainer of our lives, the one in whom, God, we receive salvation, to whom the doors are open. Will you help us, God, to see him and to stand in belief of who he is. By your spirit and by his light, will you expose doubt so that it can be evicted from our minds, from our thoughts, so that we can stand firmly upon what your word has declared. We beseech thee in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, our Savior. Thank you for his finished work. In Jesus' name.